And WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state's top election officials sat down with federal investigators to discuss events surrounding the 2020 presidential election. Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf is the third official to confirm such information. U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith and his team are investigating the 2020 election in several battleground states and the events that led up to the U.S. Capitol insurrection in January 2021. Wisconsin Republicans are trying again to stop the government from banning religious services during public health emergencies. Terry Bell reports.
This time, they're trying a constitutional amendment to sidestep what would be another likely veto. Republican Senator Dan Knodel says the government overreached during the COVID-19 pandemic.
We're realizing and addressing that we might have protected people's physical health, but we dearly neglected their mental health.
But a constitutional amendment might not be the best way to balance public safety with religious freedom. Peter Bakken is with the Wisconsin Council of Churches.
Trying to define options in advance without any clear idea of exactly what we could be facing in the future is unwise.
The amendment got an informational hearing yesterday before a Senate committee. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Potential tax exemption changes coming for Wisconsin seniors. Melissa Kay with more.
Two GOP lawmakers have introduced legislation that would eliminate close to all state taxes on retirement income for Wisconsin residents over the age of 67. The bill would exempt individual filers from all state taxes on retirement income for their first $100,000. Joint filers would be exempt up to the first $150,000. The exemptions would include income from IRAs, pensions, 401ks, and other federally qualified retirement plans. Neighboring states, including Illinois and Iowa, do not tax retirement income from such plans. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Residents of Milwaukee's northern suburbs have a new state representative. Republican Paul Melodic defeated Democrat Bob Tatterson in a special election for the state's 24th Assembly District on Tuesday. Yesterday's unofficial vote totals have Melodic winning the seat by around 7 percentage points. Wisconsin could be fully wired for high-speed internet in 5 or 6 years. That's according to Governor Tony Evers. Wisconsin is getting $1 billion from Washington to build up broadband in underserved areas. But first, the state needs to finish its proposal for how to spend the money.
We have a good start, and I think with the federal money and the state money, we'll be able to get very, very close after, I'd say, another 5 or 6 years.
Evers spoke with reporters in Baraboo yesterday, and that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
For Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. The district attorneys for both Polk County and St. Croix County said that officers were justified in shooting and killing a man in the town of Star Prairie on June 3rd. In their decision, the DA said that the man who was killed, 42-year-old Tyler Abel of New Richmond, made threatening statements toward law enforcement and was carrying a rifle. Two officers shot and killed Abel. No officers were hurt in the shooting. St. Croix County DA Carl Anderson had Polk County DA Jeffrey Camp review the incident as an independent investigator. And a pair of communities in Barron County are honoring two officers killed in the line of duty earlier this year. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chetek and Cameron was renamed to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Shield Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th during a traffic stop near Cameron. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers fall short in Philly. Good morning. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers struggled again on offense, losing 4-3 last night in Philadelphia. The Philly starter, Aaron Nola, kept the Brewers lineup off the bases, holding the crew to 2 runs, striking out 6 through 7 1/3 innings. So what made Nola so effective? Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, he threw a ton of strikes, which is, you know, something he does, and he throws strikes on, you know, in a good part of the zone for him, on the edge of the zone. You know, we didn't get ahead of many counts. That's what he's good at. He did a nice job with his, you know, he sprinkled in more off speed tonight, I thought, did a nice job, and his off speed with strikes. There was a lot of strikes with off speed stuff that kept us off balance.
The loss snapped a 4-game winning streak after winning 2 series against the Reds. Any concern?
No. I mean, it's 4 games. We just, we didn't create a lot of pressure tonight. You know, frankly, we got some runs off some defensive mistakes on their part, but certainly got to do a better job offensively.
Council getting some good news. Pitcher Brandon Woodruff, out since April with that shoulder injury, will pitch Saturday night for the Timber Rattlers in Dayton, Ohio against the Dragons. The Brewers' Colin Ray will pitch tonight in place of Wade Miley, now on the 15-day IL with elbow discomfort. Ray is going to face the Phillies lefty Christopher Sanchez, game time 5:40 at Citizens Bank Park. Around the league, the Reds, after another rain delay at home, lost again to the Giants 11-10. Cincinnati's now lost 6 in a row. NFL, the Packers shareholders meeting is set for next Monday at 11 a.m., training camp a week from today. The Kansas City Chiefs have reported to camp quarterback Patrick Mahomes on the chance to become the 9th team to ever repeat a Super Bowl win.
When you have that parade, when you go through the offseason that I've been through, you want to do it again. And you only get those opportunities by winning the Super Bowl. For us, we want to make sure that we can build up and try to win that Super Bowl again, because that moment, that feeling is something that you just want to grab every single time that you get the opportunity to do.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
After 8 o'clock now on this Wednesday morning. Hope you're having a good day so far. Welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. And we've got a lot going on today, as it seems to be every day these days. By the way, you can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 till 10 a.m. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. And taking a look outside today for La Crosse, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. In Eau Claire, mostly cloudy in the morning, and then sunshine later in the day, highs in the mid-80s. Hayward, a chance of rain today, highs around 80 degrees. And in Richland Center, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-80s. And in sports, the Brewers fell to the Phillies last night 4-3 in the first game of that 3-game series. The Brewers are now 2.5 games ahead of the Reds, or still 2.5 games ahead of the Reds in the National League Central. And game 2 of that series against the Phillies is tonight in Philadelphia. And in the headlines today, the American serviceman taken into custody by North Korea has a connection to Wisconsin. His mother lives in Racine. And also in the news today, Ron Johnson may continue to repay himself for campaign loans with cash from his campaign donors. And you probably know about the big national stories, right? The fact that the former president of the United States received a target letter yesterday saying he is a target in the January 6th investigation. And then later in the day, yesterday, the state of Michigan said they were going to indict the fake electors from that state in that 2020 attempt to overturn the election.
Hey, the first story I wanted to get to in depth was something that we did discuss a little bit yesterday about our senator, Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. This headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says that Senator Johnson might continue to repay personal campaign loans with cash from donors. Now, let me ask my producer, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, did you send money to Ron Johnson? Have you ever sent any money to Ron Johnson?
I most definitely have not.
Well, I would say that's probably not a good investment, even if you are a Republican. And I'm not saying you are a Republican, but I'm talking to our listeners
right.
who may have voted for Ron Johnson in the past or even sent money to the multimillionaire who really doesn't need a whole lot of money. He's got plenty of cash. But evidently now he's taking cash from his donors to repay himself for loans he made to his campaign. And this story has a Dateline Washington. It says U.S. Senator Ron Johnson is leaving open the possibility that he could continue to pay himself back for millions of dollars in loans he made to his prior Senate campaigns, something he began to do in May, despite claiming he had, quote, no intention of recouping the money from donors. He said, again, I'm not making an overt effort, Johnson told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Tuesday, yesterday, when he was asked if he planned to continue to pay himself back for loans from his successful 2010 and 2016 campaigns. Now, if he says he's not making an overt effort, then what's he doing? Is he making a covert effort? I don't know. That doesn't sound better. That sounds worse. Anyway, asked if that meant that he might indeed recoup the money from donations, Johnson shrugged as he got onto an elevator from the Capitol basement to the Senate floor. He did not respond before the elevator doors closed. And that's a scene we've seen several times over the years as a intrepid reporter is asking questions of the Republican. He jumps in the elevator, presses the button, and the doors close. The multimillionaire Oshkosh Republican on May 3rd repaid himself $400,000 for prior loans to his campaigns. According to documents filed with the Federal Elections Commission, those payments from his campaign account included $210,000 in loans to his 2010 campaign and $190,000 in loans he made to his 2016 campaign. The repayments are legal. The Supreme Court ruled in its May of 2022. A case called Ted Cruz versus FEC decision that federal candidates are entitled to use an unlimited amount of cash raised after an election to repay loans that they had previously made to their campaign. Federal lawmakers had previously placed a $250,000 cap on the amount of money that candidates could raise after their election to repay old campaign loans. And obviously, if that cap were still there, Ron Johnson would not have been able to take the $400,000. He would have only been able to take up to that cap of $250,000. So the story goes on and says, but 2 weeks after Johnson repaid himself the $400,000 for the old loans, he told Insider Inc. that he had no intention of seeking any of the $8.4 million in outstanding loans he claimed his campaign owes him, quote, I don't have any expectation to get paid back, Johnson said on May 16th. Johnson's $400,000 repayment was not public at the time, and it only became available with the latest FEC filing this past Saturday. The Journal Sentinel first revealed the discrepancy on Monday of this week, and then when asked on Tuesday, yesterday, why he said he had no intention to recoup the loans when he had already begun to do so, Johnson again said, I just have no expectation that's ever going to be paid. That's after he already started taking the cash. He said, I don't track all these donations in terms of what's going out into what. That's the quote. He says, I don't track all these donations in terms of what's going out into what. So if $400,000 just happens to land back into my bank account, I'm not tracking that stuff, evidently, is what he's trying to say. And aides to Johnson have maintained that the senator, quote, has little expectation that the full loans will be repaid, end quote. So if he loaned himself $8.4 million, but has little expectation that the full loans will be repaid, what does that mean? Does it mean that he's going to take $8 million back, but leave the other $400,000 out and say, well, I didn't pay myself back the whole $8.4 million? The story from the Journal Sentinel continues and says, should Johnson wish to repay himself for the more than $8 million in old loans, he would need to raise that money from donations, something he has attempted to do. Last week, Johnson sent out multiple emails saying he needed to raise money to pay off old debts. Quote, I'll get straight to the point. Even though we won, my campaign had to take on some debt, Johnson wrote in one of the solicitations. Quote, I was hoping I could convince you to chip in now to help me pay off this debt, end quote. And that message went out to many of his supporters around the state, many people on fixed incomes, many people with low incomes, asking them to chip in to help the multimillionaire pay off the money that he had previously loaned his campaign. The last sentence in this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with contributions by Daniel Bice. It says here that he, Ron Johnson, reported having about $550,000 in cash on hand in his campaign coffers as of June 30th. So even though he's a multimillionaire, still going to try to claw back that cash that he had loaned to his campaigns. Man, if I were a contributor to Ron Johnson's campaigns, I'd be a little upset right now. But fortunately, I didn't send him any money. 17 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniel Show.
Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin. They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mainly sunny skies and calm. High temperatures reach up to 84. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. High temperatures reach up to 77 tomorrow. Low 80s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 63.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I've been waiting for something to happen. For a week or a month or a year. With the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before. Where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again. How the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments are killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore. And they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance. There are people under fire. There are children at the cans. And there is blood on the wire.
And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning, 23 minutes after 8 o'clock right now, discussing several topics today. If you have an opinion on any of these topics that you'd like to share with our listeners, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And also, if you want to, you can send me an email message. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com, and Stu is spelled S-T-U. And I have a story here about Mark Pocan, congressman from Wisconsin, from the Madison area, and he is saying that Republicans are bigoted. Representative Mark Pocan rebukes House Republicans for effort to cut support for LGBTQ groups. And this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel with a dateline of Washington. Representative Mark Pocan, Democrat from Wisconsin, on Tuesday delivered an impassioned rebuke of House Republicans' efforts to roll back funding for the LGBTQ community, calling a move to eliminate community-directed spending for LGBTQ groups insane, and labeling one Republican colleague a bigot. Pocan's pointed remarks came as Appropriations Committee Republicans moved to strike from the Transportation Department's annual funding bill three earmarks that would provide services to several LGBTQ centers in Pennsylvania and Massachusetts. The move is among the latest in a culture war playing out on Capitol Hill, in which Republicans have set their sights on, in part, transgender issues and diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Quote, if you were to take away earmarks because they went to the NAACP or the Urban League, you would rightfully so be called racist bigots, Pocan said during the subcommittee hearing, using the acronym for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Quote, but when you do it to the LGBTQ community, it's another freaking day in Congress, end quote. That's Mark Pocan speaking. At issue were three earmarks tucked into the department's spending bill. $1.8 million to expand an LGBTQ center in Philadelphia, $970,000 toward a transitional housing program at an LGBT center in Reading, Pennsylvania, and $850,000 for an LGBTQ senior housing group in Massachusetts. Republicans on the Appropriations Subcommittee ultimately voted to eliminate the three spending projects as part of a block of amendments that included other cultural sticking points, including one measure that would prohibit flying gay pride flags over government buildings. Pocan, who is gay, called the effort an embarrassment to the committee and described the move as bigoted. He told a personal story of his experience being a gay man. Quote, did I share with you when I used to get the article when I first ran for office when they wrote dead faggot over your face and sent it to you in the mail? Pocan said during the hearing. Or the time when I wasn't out yet and left a gay bar and two people followed me and beat me with a baseball bat until I was bloodied and unconscious and called me a faggot. This is what you guys do by introducing amendments like this. Taking away from people's earmarks is absolutely below the dignity of Congress and certainly the Appropriations Committee, end quote. Connecticut Democratic U.S. Representative Rosa DeLauro, the top Democrat on the Appropriations Committee, was similarly critical of her Republican colleagues. She equated the discussions to negotiating with terrorists, remarks that were later removed from the record, according to news reports. And at one point during the hearing, Maryland Republican U.S. Representative Andy Harris claimed, without providing evidence, that one of the LGBTQ centers in question had support groups for seven-year-olds to groom seven-year-olds. Why else would you have, it's not for adults, it's not an adult group, Harris said. Pocan attacked Harris for the remark, saying, you know, there's a saying, how do you show you're a bigot without saying you're a bigot? I'm just saying, there's a saying, is the end of the quote. 28 minutes after 8 o'clock, going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
To the ground. And I patched up your broken wing. And hung around a while. Trying to keep your spirits up.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Em Nguyen. Stunned and shocked. That's how a witness describes seeing an American soldier running into the demilitarized zone separating North and South Korea, and then captured by the North.
Suddenly I noticed a guy running, guy dressed in black, running for what looked like full gas towards the North Korean side. And my first thought was, what an absolute idiot. I assumed he was sort of getting a mate to film it for some kind of TikTok stunt or something like that. But he just didn't stop and he kept going.
Tourist Sarah Leslie at the DMZ at the time. 23-year-old Army Private Travis King had just been released from South Korea and was supposed to return to the U.S. to face possible military charges, but apparently decided to flee into North Korea instead. Former President Trump weighing his next move after receiving an official target letter saying he's the focus of a federal January 6th investigation led by special counsel Jack Smith. Sources tell ABC News he could be indicted as soon as Friday. This is ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. Court dates for the teenager accused of killing Lily Peters have been scheduled. Motions this week to seal photos and videos of the case were accepted. On August 7th, the court is scheduled to decide whether the case will be moved to juvenile court or if the now 15-year-old suspect will be tried as an adult. The district attorneys for both Polk County and St. Croix County said that officers were justified in shooting and killing a man in the town of Star Prairie on June 3rd. In their decision, the DA said that the man who was killed, 42-year-old Tyler Abel of New Richmond, made threatening statements toward law enforcement and was carrying a rifle. Two officers shot and killed Abel. No officers were hurt in the shooting. St. Croix County DA Carl Anderson had Polk County DA Jeffrey Camp review the incident as an independent investigator. And a pair of communities in Barron County are honoring two officers killed in the line of duty earlier this year. County Highway SS in Barron County between Chetek and Cameron was renamed to be the Officer Emily Breidenbach and Officer Hunter Shield Memorial Highway. The officers were killed on April 8th during a traffic stop near Cameron. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM radio for every vehicle act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Inside a cloud.
Yeah. One fine morning. That could be today. One fine morning. Music from Lighthouse on a Wednesday morning. 8:35 right now. 62 degrees in La Crosse. Also 62 degrees in Hayward. Most places looking for highs today. Or around 80 degrees if you're way up north, or even in the mid-80s if you're further south. And discussing several topics today. You know, one thing that the Biden administration has been working on quite a bit since they took office is protecting consumers from corporations that just take advantage and charge all kinds of extra charges. One thing they tried to shore up was the charges you get, you see when you book a flight on a plane or when you buy a ticket to a concert. And now there's news breaking now that the Biden administration is announcing new rules to tackle big corporate consolidation. I have a story here from the HuffPost. The headline says Biden announces new rules to tackle big corporate consolidation. And, you know, that's something that affects all of us. When big companies take over other companies, it leads to monopolistic behavior. And that's when prices can go up and we can all get gouged. But fortunately, we have an administration looking out for us. This piece by Paul Blumenthal was just posted this morning. The subheadline says, "New merger guidelines mark a major shift in federal antitrust enforcement, moving past the priorities established under Ronald Reagan." And it says here, President Joe Biden's administration is set to roll out new guidelines Wednesday, that's today, that determine when the federal government will challenge corporate mergers, a major step that has long been anticipated by antitrust advocates and is likely to set off a battle with big business. Biden will announce the new guidelines, along with a handful of other new antitrust policies, at the fifth meeting of his White House Competition Council on Wednesday, today. The Federal Trade Commission and the Department of Justice's Antitrust Office are set to release a draft of the new guidelines, which aim to modernize how the agencies review mergers and acquisitions with the aim of reducing market concentration and anti-competitive behavior in key corporate sectors. The new guidelines, spearheaded by FTC Chair Lina Khan and Assistant Attorney General Jonathan Cantor, are part of the Biden administration's economic policy that would dismantle a 40-year reign of laissez-faire free market economics established under President Ronald Reagan. Antitrust enforcement agencies in the Reagan administration adopted a lax review standard that encouraged mergers and acquisitions and looked favorably on monopolies for promoting market efficiency. Now, does that sound right to you, that we would want to look favorably on monopolies because that promotes market efficiency? I would say that just leads to higher profits for the corporations. This piece from HuffPost goes on and says, this standard, the lax standard, gained bipartisan acceptance and has dominated antitrust enforcement ever since. The new guidelines take into account the effects that mergers would have on workers, sellers, corporate power, and markets, while setting new rules for mergers involving digital platforms. They will likely usher in a new era of antitrust enforcement. So this is good news for all of us who aren't big corporations. The quote here says, as markets and commercial realities change, it is vital that we adapt our law enforcement tools to keep pace so that we can protect competition in a manner that reflects the intricacies of our modern economy. It says Cantor said in a statement, simply put, competition today looks different than it did 50 or even 15 years ago, end quote. This major shift in policy comes after Biden appointed Kahn and Cantor, both noted antitrust hawks, within months of his inauguration. He issued an executive order on competition policy that called for the rewrite of the merger guidelines and has since informed policy changes at nearly every federal agency. And I should mention here that this new policy and this oversight of mergers and acquisitions will benefit everyone, not just people who voted for Joe Biden. It will also benefit people that voted for Donald Trump. The last attempt to revise the merger guidelines occurred in 2020 during the Donald Trump administration, but the Biden administration and efforts led by Kahn and Cantor soon scrapped those rules for failing to reflect accurate economic thinking and data, and they set about to create a fresh rewrite. That process produced more than 5,000 public comments, far more than the 30-some comments from corporations that the agencies received during previous updates. The draft guidelines will be available for public comment for 60 days. The merger guidelines aren't the only new antitrust policies the administration announced on Wednesday, today. In addition, the Department of Housing and Urban Development announced plans to crack down on junk fees in the rental housing market. And in March, HUD Secretary Marsha Fudge wrote to leaders in the rental housing industry to push them to crack down on hidden and excessive fees, such as rental application fees and hidden charges for trash collection or other services that tenants may presume are built into the rent. And if you've ever went looking for an apartment, you've probably run into that where the companies or the corporations that own the apartments want you to pay a fee, an application fee, just for filling out an application, right? You want to move into an apartment complex, you fill out the application to move in there, and then you have to pay a $35 fee just to submit the application. And they may not even accept you in the end. So anyway, getting back to the story here about these new policies being handed down today from the Biden administration, it says three digital real estate platforms, Zillow, Apartments.com, and AffordableHousing.com, now plan to include these often hidden fees when they list prices on rental properties. The U.S. Department of Agriculture also announced today that it has entered into a partnership with the attorneys general of 32 states and the District of Columbia to target anti-competitive behavior in food markets. The partnership would allow cooperation in competition lawsuits that seek to reduce food prices, combat price gouging, increase food access, and thwart anti-competitive behavior that threatens food supply chains. Okay, so the Biden administration changing the way that corporations can do their acquisitions and mergers and acquisitions, which is a good thing for all of us who are consumers, I would say. And I don't remember if it was yesterday. Yeah, I guess it was yesterday. We were discussing that movie that's coming out on Friday called Oppenheimer. And the anticipation about this movie for many different reasons. Of course, it's always a good thing to be reminded of what happened back in the 1940s and how things could be a lot different today if we would have done things differently back then, and not in a good way. But obviously, dropping atomic bombs on cities filled with people is a controversial thing. Well, this story here from The Nation has a headline that says, "Why Oppenheimer could be that teachable moment, even if Oppenheimer won't provide a resolution of our nuclear quandary, it could amplify awareness of the danger too often accepted as normal. You know, that's something we don't think about a whole lot these days, the dangers of nuclear war, nuclear holocaust, nuclear attacks. And obviously, with countries like Russia having the availability of nuclear weapons, it is something that we should be considering. I'll give you a little bit of the story before we head to the break. It says, over the last several months, organizations concerned about the threat of nuclear war have been buzzing in anticipation of the new Universal Pictures film, Oppenheimer. For those of us who'd like to see the risk of apocalypse reduced, the movie seems a major popular culture godsend. Its director, Christopher Nolan, has a proven talent for playing large on the public screen. And though I have yet to see the entire film, which has been kept largely under wraps until its July 21st opening, after talking with Nolan in May, I have every expectation it will be smart, serious, and engaging. The race during World War II to build an American atomic bomb before Nazi Germany acquired one is high-order drama. And J. Robert Oppenheimer, the enigmatic director of the Los Alamos laboratory that birthed the bomb, lived an accomplished and vivid life, rising to the heights of scientific celebrity before being cast into disrepute, accused wrongly of disloyalty during the Red Scare of the 1950s. His story is a tragedy of Shakespearean heft. It's hard to imagine a historical narrative more fit for the big screen. Starts on Friday. Going to be worth seeing, I believe. I'm going to go check it out. 8:47, going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
The Supreme Court threw out affirmative action.
In a lengthy dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor spoke at length from the bench. In so holding, the court cements a superficial rule of colorblindness in endemically segregated society where race continues to matter.
Not anymore, Robert says.
We're good. Doesn't. We're good. We can talk about how racism has impacted you in your life and other spots of the admissions.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, mainly sunny skies and calm. High temperatures reach up to 84. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. High temperatures reach up to 77 tomorrow. Low 80s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Saturday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 65.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
That I'm talking about. 8:52 and a half right now on a Wednesday morning. And welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We're discussing several different topics today. And let me ask my producer, Aaron, do you buy lottery tickets?
I do not. I've bought a couple of scratch-offs just when I turned 18 and I could. And I bought one that was $30 and I won $60 on it. And I was like, all right, I'm quitting while I'm ahead. Just the one is good.
Good job, man. Good job. A lot of people would say, well, I doubled my money. I'm going to try again because I'll double my money again. But you did the smart thing and said, well, I doubled my money and now I'm backing out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing because obviously a lot of people waste a lot of money on lottery tickets. I know that 99% don't ever get back the money they spend on the lottery tickets. And you could rationalize it and say, well, the money goes to a good cause, right? It goes to help out everybody in our state. But a lot of people spend a lot of money. I think if you want to put a couple of dollars aside here and there to buy a lottery ticket, I guess that's okay. But today, a lot of people are buying lottery tickets. The Powerball jackpot up to $1 billion. Man, what would you do with that money? Hey, Aaron, what would you do with that money if you won $1 billion, which would be at least a half a billion after taxes, right?
Yeah, that it's just incomprehensible amount of money to people like us who aren't already millionaire billionaires. Well, first, I would contact a lawyer and try and get myself set up correctly so I don't get screwed out of it somehow.
Yeah.
Because I can definitely afford to pay them once I get that money. And after that, I know I would pay off debts of people I know. Like I have some student debt. I'd pay that off. One of my sisters has some student debt. I'd pay that off.
Yeah.
I would do that. And then I would try and find some good causes to donate a lot of it to. Obviously, I would keep some, but I don't want that kind of money. I have nothing to spend it on. I would rather try and contribute to something I'm not totally sure what, but.
Yeah. You could help Ron Johnson pay off his loans to his campaign.
You know, I could, but somehow I don't think I would end up going that route.
Well, good for you, man. You sound like a smart guy. Well, here's a story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says, what to know about Wednesday's $1 billion Powerball jackpot, including the odds and the rules. I know there are a lot of people buying lottery tickets right now who don't even normally buy them, because the jackpot is so big. It says here, a nationwide lottery game has once again ballooned above $1 billion. The latest Powerball pot continues to grow after Monday's drawing produced no winners. Sure, you already know your odds of winning the lottery are so small, they might even escape luck's influence. However, it is hard not to dream of having your life changed overnight, especially after the largest lottery pot ever was just handed out in 2022, with another drawing coming on Wednesday this evening. Here's everything you need to know about how to play, how much you could win, what to do if you win, and what your odds are. And yes, Wisconsin does have Powerball. The Powerball tickets are sold in 45 states, including Wisconsin, as well as Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Wisconsin lottery tickets, which cost $2 each, may only be purchased with cash at participating Wisconsin lottery retailers, including many gas stations and convenience stores. Tickets must be purchased at least an hour before the drawing on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday to be eligible to win. Purchasers must be at least 18 years old. The estimated jackpot is currently at $1 billion. However, that amount would only be awarded should the winner choose an annuity option paid over 29 years. Most jackpot winners take a cash option, which for this Wednesday's drawing is an estimated $516.8 million. And according to the Wisconsin Lottery's website, the jackpot winner has 60 days from the date of ticket validation to select either the annuity or the cash payment method. And should someone win the current jackpot, that lucky player would win the second biggest Powerball pot ever, though that payday would be a ways behind the biggest Powerball pot ever of roughly $2 billion in November of last year. The current pot is also the sixth largest jackpot ever in the United States. And according to the Wisconsin Lottery's website, there are 9 opportunities to win a prize playing Powerball, from $4 all the way up to the jackpot. For example, someone who gets 3 of the 5 numbers wins a $7 prize. The odds of this are 580-1. The prize and the odds increase with each set of numbers guessed correctly. You buy a ticket, good luck. Hey, stick around. Top of the hour news coming up. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
This is Julie Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always